Okay, we're going to do a little demonstration that's not quite part of the teaching. We're going to show you a principle. So, so we're going to say this is the old man.
Lake water.
That's from our lake or stream.
The little
it's been 100 degree water. That's what our life looks like before we see Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's some solutions for that and Yahweh. And so I'm going to have a person come over here and help me.
Man. You'll learn
Anna.
His name, man.
Okay, come here.
You want me to put that in there?
Just about half of it.
All
right. This is awesome.
She's adding, and this is going to represent the word of Yahweh and spirit. Okay. Now stir.
Zoom in on the water.
And so she's going to stir for about 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Yeah. And we'll go ahead and get our kitchen. You can go ahead and take it on me and just do that. And somebody can spend one timer. Then it's going to set for 5 minutes. But we're going to teachings on Yahweh proving you. And so we're going to look at the word Nasa, which is number 5254. It means to test, try, prove, put to the proof. So let's begin in Deuteronomy 8.
How would you spell Nasa?
N-A-S-A. But they actually have a spell transliterated as N-A-C-A-H, which I'm like, I don't like that at all. But that's how it was transliterated in the Blue Letter Bible, but it's Nasa. So we're going to look at its usage.
Did you put a D on the end of it?
N-A-S-A.
Nasa.
They said transliterating the spelling. N-A-C-A-H, which that didn't look like a sign at all, so that would be Nakat, Nakay, I don't know. But I would just say N-A-S-A.
Nasa or Nasa?
H.
N-A-S-A. And so we're chapter 8, verse 1-6. This is very important for our own individual lives. You know, I'm looking at most people, and you see the majority of the people really aren't interested in Yahweh, a relationship with Yahweh. It's just a matter of fact. They want a little piece of it, but they're just not going to see the test. And I think we can look at family members, we can look at people who stood the course for their whole life, and it's going to be sometimes very rare that actually happened. And let's look at this. 8:1, all the commandment which I am commanding thee today shall thou observe to do, that you may live and multiply and enter in and possess the land which Yahweh sware unto your fathers. So then thou shalt remember all the way in which Yahweh thy Elohim caused thee to journey these 40 years in the desert, that he might do what?
Humble thee.
And that is to afflict, is to make you as a child again, to submit. To put thee to what?
Proof.
To proof, Nasa. To know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Really simple. So he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou hast not known, neither had thy fathers known, that he might lead thee to consider that not on bread alone shall the Son of Man live, but on whatsoever cometh from the mouth of Yahweh, the bidding, whenever you see bidding, it's mouth, of Yahweh shall the Son of Earth live. Thy mantle hath not fallen with age from off thee, and thy foot hath not become swollen these 40 years. Thou must consider then with thy heart that as a man chases his son, Yahweh thy God has been chastening thee. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandment of Yahweh thy God to walk in his ways and revere him. Let's just go ahead and stop.
You can lick it if you'd like.
Oh my God.
That is crazy.
This watch.
Oh.
The snow globe.
And that is a transformation new name. When we put the word of Yahweh in.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's a chemical in that, and there's, you know, that Procter & Gamble came up with. You see it right here, it's called PNG. And a person was coming up on how to separate dirt and laundry detergent. And it came up with this. And then with chlorine added to it, now it's for drinking water for anybody in Africa or any place, so they can take water from any place. And this will do 2.5 gallons. And they, you know, this is like $1 a pack, but I think they give away for 10 cents or something like that. But I'm going to be drinking that in 5 minutes. So we'll see that. So,
if you drop over, it's Procter & Gamble.
Then the chlorine is working out, killing the organisms that are alive. And so you stir for about 5 minutes, and that's 2.5 gallons. You stir for five minutes, and then you let it sit for another 5 minutes, and that's according to the instructions. And then you pour it through a filter and drink it.
What? Oh, that's the white
answer. Isn't that amazing?
As the cred comes up.
But that should be representing our lives once we actually put Yahweh in our minds and actually do it. Because remember, there's two people who built their houses, and mm-hmm. one built their house on the sand, and one built their house on the rock. What was the difference?
One fell down.
Wow. The one that put it on the rock is the one that did the word. They both knew it.
Both of them heard the word. That's it. So both of them heard the word. But without doing the word, you're never going to be this.
Yeah. I see what you're
saying. You're going to be clumbing water. And so Satan knows the word.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He knows it quite front and backwards. So there are all the adversaries, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests. They knew the word, front word, back. They could quote it, but they didn't do it. So you've got to be able to do it.
I never thought of that, yeah.
So that's Nisan, but he saw that he was proved, so that he was the humble thee, put thee to the proof, Nisan, the heart examined, commandment kept, whether you're going to keep my commandment, life from the word of Yahweh comes from this. And so we're going to see Nisan, first usage, Genesis 22:1. And so it's not tempting, but I think it's very instructional. Is we're proving to see if you're going to walk the walk. And Abraham break out from thence towards the land of the south and fixed his dwelling between Kadesh and Sur. Let me see here.
Are you on
20? It's 22:1. Sorry. And it came to pass after these things that Elohim did prove Yahweh, did prove Abraham. And he said unto him, Abram. And he said, behold me. And he said, take, I pray thee, thy son, thy only ones, whom thou hast loved, even Isaac. And remember that. So this was the proving of the son. And this is really the Christ image here. Yeah, but what a faith that Abraham had. That he would believe that if Yahweh said slay your son, he would do it, and he was going to do it, and that Yahweh would raise him from the dead. Why?
Because he
got the promise that he's the heir of Abraham, and that was the only son I had. And you're like, what kind of faith? But obviously, that's very unusual. But that still happened. Now we go to Exodus 15:22. It's still Nisan to prove Abraham. And so don't ever think being exalted, being proved. So sometimes Yahweh is looking at us individually, what you can handle and what you are faithful of. Mm-hmm. Are you faithful for this? And then all of a sudden the distractions are going to come up, and then is it squirrel? Come on, can you just focus on this for a minute? Well, I love this. You know, this lifestyle that I used to have, and I'm going to have just a little bit of that right now, and I'll come right back to you after I'm done, and we're going to see that's over and over and over. 15:22-25. You want to read that, Wendy?
And Moses called Israel to break up from the Red Sea, and they went out into the desert of Shur, and journeyed 3 days in the desert and found no water. And when they came in towards Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, before they were bitter. For this cause was the name thereof called Marah.
Let's just stop here. Did Yahweh know that?
Yeah.
Did he tell which way to go? Mm-hmm. Is there a proving here? Are you going to bitch because you get thirsty? And what happened? Absolutely. So they've just seen miracle upon miracle upon miracle, you know, and now it's only been 3 days, and all of a sudden you're whining and complaining. So 24, so the people murmured against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? And they made outcry to Yahweh, and Yahweh pointed out a tree, and he cast it into the waters, and the water became sweet. You're like, flunked, flunked, flunked. Let's go to 16:4. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, behold, me rain down for you bread out of heaven, and the people shall go out and gather the portion for a day, and on a day that I may prove them, very simple, and decide them, whether they will walk in my law or not. Very simply. You're going to get hungry. Well, why don't you just give us water and food, storehouses, and you just leave? All right, and the weather and everything else that we need, then we're never going to complain. We're never going to have to be proved, are we? Because I don't have any needs. You know, so here's this proving. We go to, you know, we saw the proving. Well, let's look at Psalms 26, 1 through 7. And this is David asking to prove me. Do coaches
prove
athletes?
26.
Now, do coaches prove athletes?
Absolutely.
Are they going to do the rules? Are they? And Tim was just talking about that on training. Whether they're going to do things, and then I'm going to see how you're going to handle adversity. Are you going to whine and complain? Are you going to do this? So this is what it is. 1 through 7. No. Here, Psalms 27, 1 through 3. 26:1-7.
Yeah.
You
want to
read?
Sure. Do me justice, O Yahweh, for I in my blameless have walked, and in Yahweh have I trusted. I will not waver. Try me, O Yahweh, and prove
There's
me. Test my reins and my heart, for thy chesed hath been before mine eyes, and I have walked to and fro in thy faithfulness. I have not sat with men of dissent or deceit, nor with dissemblers would I enter. I have hated the convocation of evildoers, and with lawless men would I not sit. I will bathe in pureness with my hands, so will I go in procession around thine altar, O Yahweh, to sound aloud a song, and to recount all thy wonderful doings.
Stop there. But that was it. He was proved. Now, assistant, can you come here for a minute?
Hope you're thirsty.
Don't block the camera. Hold the glass.
Okay.
Hold that too.
So what if you don't have a filter?
Now isn't that something?
You still drink it. You just get all this. You get all the sediment.
Thank you.
Is it going to be sweet or salty?
Let's take a little water, I thought. That's a coffee filter. If you have that with you. So, now you can drink from the lake. And that's what Yahweh wants from us. Think of it as a drink offering. Something that's been purified your life. Purified to give to Yahweh. Now we go to Judges 2, 6 through 13. This is where we'll really be dealing. Israel were proved 40 days at a time, 3 different times, the Israelites. And that's a proving. They removed Moses from the Israelites. Can you do what you're supposed to do for 40 days, a month and a half, without your parent? And they flunked, first time. Second time, They pass, and the third time they pass. But we're looking at Judges chapter 2. Judges. Six through 13. This is kind of an interesting deal because this is really kind of recapping the end of Joshua. But it's in the beginning of Judges. And when Joshua had let the people go, the sons of Israel went their way, every man to his inheritance, to take possession of the land. And the people served Yahweh all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who has seen all the great works of Yahweh which he has wrought for Israel. This is what I'm hoping right here, that when Mom and I are gone, you guys will carry on. And then after you're gone, they will carry on. But we see that didn't happen. We're going to see, let's look at 8. Yeah. So then Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the bounds of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, on the mount of, on the north of Mount Gash. All that generation also were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who had not known Yahweh, nor even the work which he had wrought for Israel. Is it here? So the sons of Israel did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and served the Baals. There were two generations, the Baals, and forsook Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt and went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them and angered Yahweh. Yea, they forsook Yahweh and did service unto the Baal and to Ashtaroth. And so all we got to do is look at our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Are they part of the world or are they part of Yahweh? Really simple. And that will tell you what happened here. These guys went back to the world. They went back to, you know, the lifestyle of dirt and living in dirt. And we're going to see the consequences, which are huge.
Offering children to the fire.
Yeah, we're going to see this. Yeah, so let's just look at, here's what Yahweh said. We're bringing you through here. Here's what I want. Exodus 23, verse 20. Remember, Exodus is just the first year leaving Egypt. So he's going to lay out, here's what I want. Here's what I want. 20 to 24.
Wait,
chapter 23, verse 20 through 24. Melania, read
those,
please.
107. Lo, I am sending a messenger before thee to guard thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Take thou heed of his presence and hearken to his voice. Do not vex him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is within him. But if thou wilt indeed hearken to his voice, so wilt do all that I may speak. Then will I be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary to thine adversaries. For my messenger shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Canaanite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, so I will destroy them. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to their gods, neither shalt thou be led to serve them, neither shalt thou do according to their works, but thou shalt verily overthrow them and completely break in pieces their pillars.
Okay, there's it. They're going into this land. This is just year one. Remember, Deuteronomy is year 40. Here's what we're trying to do. You're going to go in there and kill them all. And destroy their altars. Very simple thing. Now go to chapter 24, verse 7. I guess it's the same. May have been here.
Same page.
Yeah, same page. And he took the book of the covenant. This is Moses. Took the book of the covenant and read it in the ears of the people. And they said, all that Yahweh has spoken will we do and will hearken. Okay, ratifying the covenant. Ratifying the covenant. You know what? Words are cheap.
Yeah.
We're going to say they couldn't even do that for 40 days. This is before he went up, I think the third time at the mount. And he came down and they had a golden calf, you know, with Aharon doing it. Now we go to Deuteronomy 7. For all that we do, we love Yahweh. And so, it's like I say, the proof is in the pudding. What was the word saying? What were you asked to do? Did you do what you're asked to do? Real simple. What are the instructions? Somebody want to read? What do you want to read? 1-4, chapter 7.
When Yahweh thy El shall bring thee into the land which thou art going in to possess, it shall clear away many nations from before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater in number and stronger than thou. And Yahweh thy El will deliver them up before thee, and thou shalt smite them. Thou shalt devote them to destruction. Thou shalt not solemnize with them a covenant, neither shalt thou show them favor, neither shalt thou intermarry with them. Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take for thy son, for he will turn aside thy son from following thee, and he will serve other gods. So shall the anger of Yahweh kindle upon you, and he will destroy thee.
Okay, so this is the 40th year. So the first year, 40th year, Moses is still alive. Let's look at Joshua chapter 23. This is about 5 years after Moses dies. Six. I think we probably already know that. I'm just going to go to, you know, Joshua went through the same thing. Go to Judges 1:27. Try to insert some things. So Joshua's dead in Judges. You know, he dies at the beginning of Judges. Judah takes over. What is your, you know, were all the kingdoms gone? No. 31 of the kingdoms were gone. And we saw that in Joshua. He's going to name the kingdoms that were gone. But Yahweh left different kingdoms to show you what are you going to do. So there's a proving that's going to happen.
And what was it? Judges 1?
Yeah, it's Judges 1:27 to 2, verse 3. Now, these are a lot of pronunciation. You want to read these again, Wendy?
1:27?
Yeah, 1:27 to 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3.
But Manasseh took not possession of Beth Shean and her towns, nor of Tanakh and her towns, nor dispossessed the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Eblim and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites were determined to remain in this land. When Israel, however, had waxed strong, they put the Canaanites under tribute, though they dispossessed them not. And Ephraim dispossessed not the Canaanites who were dwelling in Gezer. So the Canaanites remained in their midst in Gezer. Zebulun dispossessed not the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol. But the Canaanites remained in their midst and came under tribute. Asher dispossessed not the inhabitants of Akkad, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alab, nor of Akzib, nor of Hilba, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob, but the Asherites dwelt in the midst of the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they dispossessed them not. Naphtali dispossessed not the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Bethana, but they dwelt in the midst of the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, and the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and of Bethana became theirs under tribute. And the Amorites forced the sons of Dan into the hill country, for they suffered them not to come down into the vale. And though the Amorites were determined to remain in the hill country of Heres in Aijalon and in Shalabim, yet was the hand of the house of Joseph heavy, so that they came under tribute. And the boundary of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akrabim, from Selah and upwards. And the messenger of Yahweh came up from Gilgal unto Bochim, and he said, I led you up out of Egypt and brought you into the land which I had sworn unto your fathers. And I said, I will not break my covenant with you to times age abiding. But ye must not solemnize a covenant with the inhabitants of this land. Their altars must ye tear down. But ye have not hearkened unto my voice. What is this ye have done? Wherefore also I said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be your adversaries, and their gods shall become unto you a snare.
And then we go to 2, verse 20. But you saw flock, 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 flock. In one generation, you flock. And what you think is, you can play with sin. And so you're going to let your children play with sin. Well, it's nice people. They don't believe in the way that we do, but they pay their taxes and they do this. It's not going to affect the family. It's not going to affect... And I started thinking about, in a generation, you know, you saw, we just got a Billy Graham pamphlet that Wendy got, and how valuable it is, you know, about what it has 50% right and probably 50% doctors of demons. It's intermixed. They never talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit by trying to convert somebody. There is no gift of the Holy Spirit. There's just the God of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, isn't that interesting? You know, we have relatives, you know, who are so close to Christ because they know us. And so here's Wendy's nephew and his wife and two daughters who could have, you know, the connection with Christ anytime they want. That's Michael and, what's her name?
Carly.
They have two daughters, I think 13 and 7. And they don't want Christ. They don't want that. And guess what? Their kids are not going to get it either. So not only will they refuse the word of Yahweh, refuse speaking in tongues, but they're not going to communicate with their children either at the same time. So it's going generationally down. And guess what? Their father obviously never spoke to them. We have. You know, we made it available to them. But that's the ramification, generationals, of people not standing. So Joshua can say, I stand, but he says, are you going to stand? And they said, yes, we will. Did they? No. And that's the day with the Christian church you're going to see. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 20. So then the anger of Yahweh kindled upon Israel and said, for as much as this nation has transgressed my covenant, and that's all, what it's all about. What did you agree to do? Are you agreeing to do what Yahweh says? Transgress my covenant. We're going to see the Christian church in the book of Corinthians that's breaking his covenant in probably 10 different places every day of their lives. 21, I also will no further depossess a man from before them from among the nations where Joshua left remaining when he died, that I may by them put Israel to the proof, to the Nassah, whether they are going to be observant of the way of Yahweh to walk therein as their fathers observed it or not. Thus then Yahweh left his nations not depossessing them speedily, neither had he delivered them into the hand of Joshua. He's proving these people and they flunk. Another observation I got is pastors are not running the church. The sheep are running the church. And so this is a revelation. I'm going to show you that too. We always think of pastors, mad at the pastors for leading people astray. No, the people are there because he's going to teach what they want. Really simple. And that's what we know about itching ears. But let's look at what happened through the book of Judges. You know, Orthanel, he's a judge. Go to Judges 3:11.
Othniel.
Yeah, I've got to give Mom a great applause. Applause for pronouncing all those names.
Why?
Yeah, 3:11. And the land had rest, here's a deliverer, and the land had rest for 40 years, and Othniel, son of Kish, died. And guess what happened?
Boom.
And the sons of Israel again did that thing which was wicked in the eyes of sight of Yahweh. So, was it the leader driving them bad? No. Once the leader left, the kids partied. Now, next one. 3 verse 30. Ehud. And Moab was subdued on that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 8 years, and Ehud judged them until his death. Let's see here. Oh, we're going to 4:1. Now let's go to 4:1. And the sons of Israel again did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, which Ehud was dead. So it wasn't the pastor, it's the people. Now we go to Deborah, or Deborah, and go to 5:31. So perish all thy enemies, O Yahweh, but be thou who love him as the going forth of the sun in the might. And the land had rest 40 years. And guess what happened? And the sons of Israel did the thing that was great in the sight of Yahweh.
No, wicked.
Wicked in the sight of Yahweh. And then you go to Gideon, and we know that we teach that before, the Ishian heirs, that they will not insert strong doctrines, and so they will they raise up teachers that will give them what they want to hear. And that's 2 Timothy 4:3-4. So, you know, say, look at the pastor. They're just delivering the meals that these people want. Real simple. And they'll customize it any way that they can. And guess what? Also not talk about things they should talk about. Right. Because the people don't want them to be talked about. As we know that. The Democrat Party, you know, they don't want to talk about that. So what I'm going to do is just do this, and guess what? My church is full. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it right because my church is full. Now, we're going to look at approving, which is very interesting that Yahweh's done, Jeremiah 35:1. He's going to approve and use it as an example. This is very remarkable. Now, this is during the reign of Josiah. So Josiah was a great king during Jeremiah 31, verse 1 through 14.
35.
Yeah, chapter 35, verse 1 through 14. I don't think we'll go all that way. But you need to read this. The word which came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah. Oh, that was Jehoiakim, not Josiah. He was a really bad king. Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go into the house of, how do you say that?
Rechabites.
Rechabites, and speak with them, and bring them into the house of Yahweh, into one of the chambers, and give them what?
Wine.
Wine to drink. These people don't drink wine. Watch. This is approving. So I took the guy's name, son of Jeremiah, son of, what's his name, and his brethren, and all his sons, and all the house of the Rechabites, and brought them into the house of Yahweh, into the chamber of the son of Hanan, son of Igdalah, a man of Elohim, which is the prophet, which was beside the chamber of princes, which was above the chamber of Manasseh, son of Shalom, keeper of the porch. And I set before the sons of the house of Rehabaz bowls full of wine and cups, and said to them, drink you wine. Did Yahweh know they don't drink wine?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. And he says, then said they, we will not drink wine. For Jonadab, son of Rechab, our father, had commanded us, saying, ye shall not drink wine. So they're going to obey their father. They laid it out. Here's the proof. Drink wine. It's free. We're not going to drink wine because we promised, our father promised us that we wouldn't drink wine. So you have a whole generation of wines, and also the shepherds are not to live in the towns, everything else. But Yahweh's making a point. And the point is, verse 13. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of Israel, go and say to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive correction by hearkening to my words? Demanded Yahweh. Confirmed are the words of Jonadab, son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons that they would not drink wine, and they have not drunk until this day, for they have hearkened unto the command of their father. But I have spoken unto you, betimes speaking, and you have not hearkened unto me. So what a great illustration. He just proved them, and they proved sound. But you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So, we saw the Christian church, and now we're going to say, well, what does that have to deal with me? And so let's see if the Christian church is doing the same thing that these people end up doing. Very good, simple. So the Christian church, who were the first generations of the Christian church? Were the Hebrews?
Yeah, the Hebrews.
Yeah. So the beginning of the Christian church were who?
Hebrews.
Hebrews. 12 apostles. Oh, yeah. All the disciples were Hebrews. We didn't get into the non-Hebrews till when?
Acts 10.
Acts 10. And that's the house of Cornelius. You know, they had to be a proselyte, and they were a proselyte. They got circumcised. They got everything else. And so these are the founding fathers. And then about 80 years later, we have what they call the church fathers. Mm-hmm. And these are not Hebrews. This is what they call today the church fathers, which were Gentiles who did not know Hebrew. They were pagans by birth and had many gods. And this is where we came up with the Trinity, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, through these people. I remember with Judges, the next generation failed, right? Who did not know Yahweh. The one generation was faithful, the next one failed. And they failed big times. If you get to see what the teachings they are. And let's just go to first the sins of the Christian church to see if they're actually being done today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 12. And these books are read throughout the world. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am indeed of Paul, but I am Apollos, but I have Cephas, but I have Christ. Is the Christ divided? Now you go to chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. I therefore, brethren, have not been able to speak unto you as unto men of the Spirit, but as to men of the flesh, as to babes in Christ, with milk have I fed you and not with meat, for not yet have you been able, nay, not even yet, even now are you able, for ye are yet fleshly, for whereas there are among you jealousies and strife, and ye are not fleshly until after the manner of men walking. For as soon as one begins to say, I am indeed a Paul, I am a Paulus. And so we've got Calvin's, which is a Presbyterian church. We got Lutherans, which is a Lutheran church. We got Mennonites. We got Catholics. And so in 1 Corinthians 1, it's addressing that. You don't follow men, you follow Christ, is what you end up doing. But now you've got so many Baptists, everybody else that has their following. So that's been awry. Chapter 5 of Corinthians. And so, remember, Yahweh kept saying to the people, do what I ask you to do. No, don't do what I ask you to do. Do what I command you to do. This is the covenant. This is my book. Do what I told you to do. And so the question is, I'm going to wave on that. And so here is 1 Corinthians 5, we know it too, but in verse 11 through 13. But now have I written unto you not to be mixed yourself up. If anyone named a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or reviler, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such a one as this, not so much as to be eating together. So we have to realize, am I obeying this? But what have I to do to be judging them who are without? Do you not judge them who are within? Whereas when you are without, Yahweh judges. Remove you the wicked man from among yourselves. Real simple. Any Democrat should not be in any church, not allowed in any church. Because they are for fornication, they are for adultery, they are for abortion, they are for stealing from the rich, and we all know
sodomy.
It's sodomy, But our pastor's saying, out, out? No, they won't say a word. So they're not doing chapter 5. How about 6:1? Let's see if they're doing chapter 6. Dare any of you having a matter against his brother sue for judgment before the righteous and not before the saints? Wait a minute. Do churches do divorces?
No.
No. Are they supposed to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right here. Don't go to the unbeliever. Don't go to the... They do marriage, but they will not do the divorce. Break in chapter 6. Let's go to chapter 8. We're not doing chapter 5. We're not doing chapter 6. We're not doing chapter 1. Now we go to 8. How much simpler can it be? 8, 6. Juan, you want to read that?
Chapter 8 what?
Verse 6.
Yet to us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him. And one Lord, Yahushua Christ, through whom are all things, and we through him.
Okay, it's a Father and Son. No Trinity, there's no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're not all one. There is Yahweh, and then there's Christ. We're not doing 8. Let's go to chapter 14. And I'm just hitting the highlights, which we know, but you're like, there is absolutely no difference from what the book of Judges was doing that's happening right today. Now 14, verse 1. Pursue love, nevertheless be envious of the spiritual. You know, gifts is not there. And rather that you be what?
Prophesying.
Is the church doing this?
Nope.
No. No, they're not going to do chapter 14 either. Look at verse 39. So then, my brethren, be zealous to prophesy and do not forbid to be speaking with tongues. Nothing. You know, when I look at the Billy Graham pamphlet with that guy, it's from a prison ministry, but it's from Billy Graham. It's about 10 little pages, you know, a little handout to try to convert, you know, people don't know the word. Not a word about the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's God the Holy Spirit, but there's not a word about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now here's somebody, Billy Graham, you know, is supposed to be the big evangelist. You know, in Acts chapter 2, what did they say? After he reproved them, they said, what must you do, brethren? What did Peter say?
Repent.
Repent, and what? You shall receive the free gift of Holy Spirit. Shouldn't that be part of your literature? When you repent and you make Christ your Lord, you're going to receive a free gift, and that's Holy Spirit, which is power. Not a word. No, not doing that. Now we go to chapter 15 of Corinthians, verse 16. And we have a whole chapter on the dead. Very simple, the dead. The dead are not in heaven. The dead are dead. And people throw out this whole chapter. Watch this. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And these are egairos, so it's all awakened. And if Christ has not been awakened, to no purpose is your faith, yet you are your sin. Wait a minute here. It doesn't make any difference whether Christ is raised, because who was already in heaven anyway?
Everybody goes in heaven.
Yeah, Elijah was already up there. Moses was already there. Enoch is there. All these guys are already there. What was the purpose of Christ? These guys are already there, right? They're walking around in visions and everything else. You know? No, the whole message is resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. So everybody's dead except for one human who's not dead. And that's Christ. He was the firstborn from among the dead. Our example to say death cannot hold us down. But right now, death to the church is what? A friend. Because it puts you with Christ.
Puts you in paradise.
It puts you in heaven. Now let's see what Yahweh says about death in verse 26. As a last enemy, death is to be destroyed. Wow. So, I mean, think of how convoluted it is that we pray for somebody to get better and not go to heaven. Because if they die, they're going to go where? To heaven. So why would I pray for them to get better? I want them to go to heaven, right? It's a better place, so I should pray they don't get better, so they die and go to heaven. Right, where everything's a bliss, you know, just like that. And that's where Billy Graham put it, was like very simply, he says, you know, that when you die and leave your body, here's what happens. And what is that? That's the doctrines of gods. And that's called Greek philosophy that your soul exits and lives ever because your soul is everlasting.
That's what the serpent said Adam and Eve.
Yeah, same thing. And you know, it was Satan said to Eve was, "You shall not die."
I shall not surely.
Gloria Copeland say, "When you die, you're just changing addresses." And Jake, what's his name? T.J. Jakes says, "Death is the portal to heaven." Well, yeah, that's what the church teaches. Now, is that a doctrine of demons or what?
Yep.
And it's taught every day in their churches. And this is 1 Corinthians 15. Now,
so Adolf Hitler was just populating heaven.
Yeah, and abortionists. And so for Jelaine's sake, too, abortionists is putting children in where?
Heaven.
What? Mm-hmm. Well, what the church teaches, because babies go to heaven when they die. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what they teach. And so... And then aborting children would be put in where?
Directly into heaven,
and they bypass Earth. So we shouldn't be mad at abortionists. We should be giving them treasures. Because think how sick this is being taught by that. Now you tell me any difference in what's going on in Israel and Judah. You know, offering their kids into sacrifices and doctrines of demons and everything else. And so what are we supposed to be? It's in Ephesians. Got to finish up. Ephesians chapter 4. And this is becoming telios. There has to be a generation that goes, put on the brakes. You know, and this is what Josiah did, the king, because when they got the word of Yahweh, they said, "What the hell are you been teaching? These are lies. And he's knocking out the temples and everything else on that. And so the word should say, "My God," it puts on the brakes and awakens us. And so we have, here's what, in chapter 4, verse 11, "And he gave some indeed to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers, with a view to the fitting of the saints for the work of serving, of ministering, for an upbuilding of the body of the Christ until we all advance into the oneness of the faith and the personal knowledge of the Son of Yahweh into a man of full growth." That's telios. We're supposed to become telios, a full growth and mature. How are we going to do that? We've got to ingest all of this book over and over and over again. To go through the whole Bible is like 75 hours of listening and reading it. Now, if I spend a half hour a day, that would be 150 days. I could go through the whole Bible for a half hour a day, right? Mm-hmm. Reading and listening to it. Well, that's about a half a year, right? So then in a year, I can go through the Bible half hour a day twice. Mm-hmm. People have never read the Bible ever. Mm-hmm. Twice a year, an hour, I can go through four times a year these words.
You don't even have to do that. You can listen to it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Listening to it the same way, four times a year. You know, so just how simple this is, and when we're being proved... Yahweh and Christ are going to say, "Okay, how many times did you go through the Word?" "I did it once." And you're how old? 80 years old? You did it once. Really? And you're excited. Well, no, my other friends have never read it either. They just read devotionals. You know, they read the books about Corbin. You know, heaven is for real. I went to the movies and saw all these things like that, and I thought, and so we better realize to say, do I want that conversation? Do I really want to say, "Flunk, you got a 50%. A 50%? Yeah, you got a 50%. Yes. And you say, "I accept it." But let's keep going on. In 14, "that we may no longer be infants." And so the majority of all Christians are what? Infants. And what happens to infants? Billow tossed and shifted around with every wind of teaching and the craft of men in knavery suited to the artifice of error. But pursuing truth may in love grow into him in all things who is the head, Christ. You know, you're like, infants. And we got in Hebrews 5:11 and 14, but we won't go there, but it's talking about becoming, well, let's just go there and we'll finish up. Hebrews chapter 5. You know, this book's not addressed to us. But I'm thinking of what the resources we have today in the Word of Promise. You don't even have to read the Word. It recites it. And not boring, you go ahead and it's dramatized. Wow. And I can listen to that for a half hour every day, or an hour every day, and I go through the whole Bible twice a year. And George Mueller said, what is the most important book in the world?
Yeah.
It's on our laps. Do people, you know, we'll watch a sitcom 4 hours a night, 2 hours a night, right? We've got plenty of time for sitcoms, and I like sitcoms too, but you're like, really? Really? But you don't have enough time to read my word. And so the proving is in the pudding. So we've got to say, okay, if I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm going to wake up. I'm still alive. But chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, concerning whom great is our discourse and of difficult interpretation to express, seeing that slothful have you become in the hearing. For even when you ought to be teachers by reason of the time, how old are you? Okay. Well, no, I'm looking at that. And a person, and, I mean, Christ looks at us and go, how old are you? Okay. I'm 40.
56.
And what do you teach? What do you know? Well, I don't know. I'm going to get around to it, though. I'm going to get this stuff down. I'm going to get this solid foundation. And you're just like, ah, and it says right here. For even when you ought to be teachers by reason of time, again, have you need that one be teaching you what are the first principles of the oracles of Yahweh, and have become as such as need of milk, not of strong food. For everyone partaking of milk is unskilled in the discourse of righteousness, for he is a babe. But as for such who are mature, pertaineth to strong food, to them who by reason of habit have their organs of perceptions well trained for discriminating both good and evil. So you're like, and so here's Isaiah, here's Melania. We have whole classes on our website. Here's 24 lectures of just, here's what you do, here's where you go. We got 4 or 5 volumes of material to read. Does hell exist? Can you answer that question? And so you have to say, if I say, what's the square root of 16? You can say,
4.
Okay. And so you've learned this. That doesn't really help you in the kingdom. But when I say, does hell exist? I don't know. Ah. And guess what? It's all discussed in our website. All the books that we have, all everything that you ever want to know, everything that I know is there. All right, and all it takes is some kind of heart condition to say, I'm going to learn this stuff. And so, when somebody comes up to me and says this, I can say, so if I tell Melania, tell me about hell.
Does it exist? Oh, does it exist?
It's called Hebrew word.
Flunked?
What word, what Hebrew word are you saying?
That's it. What is it? What about hell?
What Hebrew word are you saying?
What Hebrew word are you referring to? Guess what?
Hades. Oh, it's great.
Yeah. It doesn't exist. There is no word for hell in Hebrew. Wow! That was a quick non-event. There's Sheol, as we know. I've got every place about Sheol. It has nothing to do with living there eternally.
In a torture chamber.
In a torture chamber, because every person who dies goes to where?
Sheol.
Sheol. Until the resurrection, until Christ comes back. The good and the bad. You know, it's a very simple stuff. This is baby stuff. And so when I say, Jesus is God, Isaiah, what do you say? Don't eat the camera. I don't know. Okay. Melania. Jesus is God. What do you say?
Does Jesus have a God?
Does Jesus have a God? Well, no. Jesus is God. Then what do you say? Go where?
Ephesians.
Let's go. Ephesians 1:3. This ought to be automatic, real simple. Ephesians 1:3. I mean, you should train your kids, train and train, you know, and on our own selves. You just got to go, bam. These are like slow pitch softballs. Just boom, boom. I'm going to show you how to handle every conversation. What does it say in verse 3?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Does Jesus have a God?
Yep.
How about verse 17?
Read it?
Yeah.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, what does that say? Does God he have a God?
Yes.
And you go on and on and on and on. Bingo, Trinity's gone. Very simply, Trinity's gone. Because Jesus has a God, because if Jesus has a God and he is a God, then how many gods do we got?
Two.
And everybody knows, no, there's not two gods. People read it every day. But that is the fall of the Christian church, no different than what happened in the book of Judges. And it happened over and over and over.
Boy, those people were stupid.
So, I went a little bit over, so we'll go ahead and hear from our Father and 1 Corinthians 14. For God's sakes, it says, covet to prophesy. Hey, do I get points for prophesying?
Amen. Yes.
Yeah, does that make Dad happy Father's Day? Yeah. If I tell people you can't prophesy, what does that do? Does that make Dad happy?
No.
No. That's it. Went out with the apostles? No, that's a lie. And then if somebody says that no longer, no, very simple things, that's no longer done. It went out with the apostles. What do you say?
What else went out with the apostles?
Yeah, in 1 Corinthians, in the book of Corinthians, what else is no good? What other chapters are no good? You're saying 4 Corinthians is not good. How about, or 1 Corinthians 14 is no good. How about 1 Corinthians 6 or 5?
How about the one on love?
Yeah, how about 13? Another one on love.
Love went out with the apostles.
And then you have to say, that's right. Because what you have done is you've taken 1 Corinthians 14 and you tore it out of your Bible. What other chapters can we do? So real simple thing. And they'll kind of go, and you know what that does? It's not being cocky, it is think. They've been led down a very dark, dark, deceptive road, no different than, you shall not die. Mm-hmm. There's no different than the Satan saying, you shall not. No, tongues went out with the apostles. Prophecy. We don't have prophets or apostles either.
No power.
We have no, you know. I'm sorry. So we'll hear from our Father, 1 Corinthians 14. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Christ. My sons and daughters, you are life. I have given you the life that's more abundant. As you practice it and put it in your heart and your mind, you must act in it and you will receive the fruits of it. So do not be afraid. Do not be cowardly. But walk forth with your head high that you are my sons and my daughter, in whom I have endowed with great spiritual ability. With great fervor, act upon my word, but you must master my word in order that you may deliver others from the power of darkness. Amen. See you next week.